Hey, welcome everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, it's time for the Boomerang Radio Show right here on Da Buzz Studio W Buzz. I've got my, two of my favorite people in the whole world with me right now. I've got Ann Wooten Taylor. Hey, Ann.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
Oh, pretty terrific. Pretty terrific. It's a great Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, rather.
It's still morning there. You went back in time on me.
Right. It's always morning, okay? That's the way I look at it.
All right
now. All right, and Dr. Reverend Rudolph Dimmer. Hey, my friend.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Oh, just fine. Fine, loud and clear. But anyway, Dr. Sims, she won't be with us tonight or this afternoon. I think she's still a bit under the weather. I think that the weather has changed so much. We talked about this a little bit, Ann, yesterday. I know it's called climate change, but it's changing. It seems like the West Coast is adapting what used to happen here on the East Coast and vice versa. So anyway, but everything's all good. We're here talking. That's the greatest thing about it. We're able to talk to one another, right?
Right.
Absolutely. And Brother Tisdale, he may not join us, but he will be with us at a future date. Brother Mike Ward, he's a DJ also. So I think he's hosting a party somewhere in Southern California. So.
Make that money. Make it.
Hey, sure.
I am not mad at you, partner.
Not me either. Not at all. Not at all. No, have fun, my friend. He said he may join us. He has a helper today. So he may join us. So, also, we may only go 90 minutes. Just depends on how much you talk, and we may only go 90 minutes today.
And you know what? Now that we got the two of y'all together, you seem to be a little bit bolder tonight because it used to be the double team on me with the two of you. So I think you're feeling a little comfortable, will you?
That hasn't always been true. Because, you know, for a while, Dr. Dimmer, he would stay out of it. He you remember?
He
nicknamed himself Bennett, right?
Every day.
Remember? But he's come out of the closet, calling Dr. Sims Black Pepper.
Oh. Every now and then, Reverend Dimmer will stick his toe in the water. But for the most part, it's you. It's
yeah, you. I know.
And your mouth just loves the fire.
That means I am doing my job.
Now that means you like to get burned.
I know. I love it. Bring the heat on. Well, that's what makes the show interesting, right?
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And it's like my big brother's messing with me. Basically.
Absolutely. That's because we love you.
And that's just what big brothers do. Yeah, I don't think men know how to just, you know, talk. You got a needle. It's something about y'all. I don't know what that is.
But it starts
when you're a kid and it just doesn't change.
It doesn't change.
I don't know what that is.
Now, the flip side of that, let somebody else mess with you. Then they've
right,
got
to. Right. They, right. Then it's a fight.
You better believe it.
Then it's a fight. It's like, hold on.
Taking the gloves off. Absolutely. We can do this now. Okay. Don't mess with her.
You know, my mom, before she got as bad as she is now and she could still talk and stuff, she would get upset and I'm going home. I was like, you are at home. And I'm calling my brothers and they're going to, and I'm like, see, that's what happens when you got six brothers. They all big. Everybody knew, do not mess with my mom and her sisters because my uncles were like, Not having it.
That's exactly right. I have one sister and she has seven brothers.
Wow. So,
yeah. Boy, that's why she's pretty tough herself. She's pretty tough. I'm telling you, she doesn't back down from anything. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But anyway, speaking of a good time, you had a good time on your show yesterday.
Yeah, wonderful time with Pastor Patty Harris. She is, oh my gosh, she just recently came into my life. You know, it's amazing. about God's connections. I've interviewed Marie McKenzie a couple of times now because she's an author and she's even been on the Teens Talk Truth radio show, but now she has her own podcast, and Pastor Patty's radio station is what she's affiliated with. And so I got to meet Pastor Patty when AJ, Alex, and I were all invited to do interviews, and we just completely hit it off. She is absolutely phenomenal, and her testimony, she didn't even tell me that part, that she, you know, was threatening a stroke, and the Holy Spirit woke her up in her sleep and told her to go to the hospital. She didn't even know she was about to have a stroke till she got there. I mean, wow. You know, the doctors knowing what was wrong with her. All she knew is she couldn't see out of one eye when she finally obeyed and got up. It was just powerful. And that led her on her own health and fitness journey. And she's been taking her congregation with her. So I love, you know, the fact that you've got a Christian leader who's leading other members of the body of Christ to live healthier lifestyles in order to take care of their bodies, which are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And so we were supposed to talk about her ministry, Grief Relief Today Ministries. We ended up talking mostly about her testimony and health and fitness. But please do, if you're struggling with issues of grief, go look up Pastor Patty Harris and Grief
Right. And she, it's my understanding, she has what, 16 books? Is it 16?
She does. She has 16 books. She is a prolific writer.
Awesome. I can imagine. You know, I wrote a children's book several years ago, and since then I've been trying to put the pen to the paper, but I can only imagine 16 books. Oh, wow. And those who tuned in, they probably thought that you guys had been friends for years.
No, I'm telling you, when I was on Marie's show, her podcast, at the end of the podcast, Pastor Patty came on, kind of like you do, on the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministry show. And oh my gosh, we must have talked for another half hour. Just really hit it off. She's really a wonderful, wonderful lady. So if you guys missed it, you can catch the replay on StreamYard. Williams got it, I think, on what?
iTunes.
YouTube, iTunes. We're on Spotify. You can go to the website, studiowbuzz.com, and look in the archives for it. And you can also check us on Facebook, because we share the show there, too. And you can see Pastor Patty, how good she looks.
That's right.
And just listen to her, not just testify, but she was preaching a little bit too.
Oh, yes, she was. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, yeah, you at Facebook, you can go to our page, Studio W_Buzz. We're also available on LinkedIn, Studio W. Twitter, William Brown, INS, Studio W, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all over the place. So anyway,
You never told me about this children's book. When did you publish a children's book?
Oh boy, this was several years ago. It's titled The Tree with No Leaves. Now the problem is that I had copies of the book, the manuscript rather, and got lost in the move. Can you believe that?
Oh, so you never published it?
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't publish it. I did register it with the Washington, D.C.
Yes, you, the Library of Congress.
Library of Congress, yes. And it's been so crazy. I'm going to try to recreate it, and perhaps I can find a manuscript somewhere. I had several copies of it, and they mysteriously disappeared.
You sent it to the Library of Congress?
Yes.
Then request it.
Well, that's a good idea.
I mean, if they got a copy of the book.
That's a real good idea. That's a real good idea. I'm going to see if I can find that. But anyway, we're going to do that. Excited about what we're doing here on this broadcast. Obviously, folks, not obviously, but we're in our 9th year. Just have great, great shows.
Seriously?
9 years. Yes. great shows like this one, the Boomerang Radio Show, and show that comes on Saturday mornings at noon here on the East Coast, 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, 10 Mountain, and in Los Angeles, in California on the West Coast, 9 a.m. Check it out. The Eden as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show, folks. It's a different kind of show. I promise you, you'll get something that will help your life, help you in your journey towards a healthier lifestyle. And then followed by Teens Talk Truth, two young men that I'm very proud of. And I know that Ann is as well. The boys, AJ and Alex with Teens Talk Truth. Like Ann mentioned yesterday, you have no idea what's going to come out of their mouth.
No, you don't. You really, really right. don't. Oh, they discuss hot topics affecting teens in society today. And, you know, it's funny because we always are reading the latest articles that come out. And so there are a few that I'm like, if Alex chooses these for what had happened was, there's no one what Alex is going to say. It really. They will be back with all new shows on the 20th. They've had finals at school, and so their school is different. If you take the advanced placement courses, you get you go to school on the weekends to get sort of a recap boot camp type of study session with the teachers before you take the exam. So they've been doing that on Saturdays. Last few weeks.
yes. We missed them.
It's not been fun.
Cause I look forward to finding what are they going to talk about.
I know. Yep.
So we've got that, Ann's show, Eden as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show, Teens Talk Truth. But before that, at 9 a.m., we have the Studio W Sports page. Those, of you who are sports enthusiasts, you would really, really enjoy the sports page. These gentlemen, they are absolutely brilliant. It's hosted by my son, E. Scott Brown, Emil Scott Brown, and his boys, Romar, Smith and, Kevin Harris and CJ Richardson, Mark Daniels. And these guys know their stuff. I mean, they break it down for you. Just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stuff. There's more. We're going to get into this program because there's much more. 24 hours a day, we're on music talk, sports, comedy, entertainment, and a whole lot more. I'll give you more information on the other side. But in the meantime, let's kick this off. I want to get into something that, boy, the dichotomy is something else here. Something that I can see on one hand that is really, really good, and it can only improve society, our quality of life, and just make things a lot easier for us. But on the other side, I see a dumbing down of society. I see some things that are concerning to me. And I'm talking about artificial intelligence, and I want to talk about that. You know how we get started. We talk about so many different things. We start with one thing and end up all the way on the other side of town. Something entirely different.
Yes, we do. But that's a natural course progression of a conversation. And I think that's why I like the show so much and why everybody else, you know, the listeners love it so much, because it's friends getting together, having a conversation about serious stuff. Which we often digress into, into jabs and non-serious talk. And then it leads to other things, just like when you're talking somebody else on the phone. It happens.
Oh, absolutely. I used to always say, I had friends that I would talk to for long periods of time. And I said, you know what? And it can't seem like we never finished a conversation. Right? Like you say, it will migrate and change into something else. Artificial intelligence. Since we started our segment on it, which, what, six weeks at least, I've heard more and more and more and more, Dr. Demery, about artificial intelligence. And when I posted it today, I want you, when I finish with Dr. Demery, we'll pass it to you, kind of tell people, what you found out. What is artificial intelligence? Okay. How is it used today? We're going to talk about that a little bit. And also, your opinions, good, is it good or bad for society? Dr. Demery, I've been reading some things on how I can see how so many people, their vocation or their jobs or whatever it is, even their careers can be replaced by artificial intelligence. We'll talk about anything from manufacturing to music. Okay. Now I don't want, AI to create music for me to listen to. Now, there is one slight exception to that. Let's say, for instance, you are a singer or something like that. They have programs now that you can put together some lyrics, and then the AI program will create the music for you, but you can still sing along with it. Now, I'm okay with that. If you're an artist, you don't have a band, you can't afford a band, you can't afford to do this type of thing, but you want to put together some music, I'm sort of okay with that. But I do not want it from front to back, from start to finish, to be all artificial intelligence. I don't want to hear an artificial voice. I don't want to hear it, you know. So I'm really a little concerned about that, you know. But the thing that I'm really concerned about, not so much concerned, but I just don't like it. What I'm really concerned about is the dangers that some, let's say, putting it in the hands of certain people, it can cause a real problem. And we talked about it several weeks ago, and there was one program that told a man that he needed to break up with his wife. Okay. Mm-hmm. They are programmed, and they can also program it to maybe impersonate you and put out some misinformation, malinformation about you. It could possibly ruin your reputation. There are political ads right now that's created based solely, created by artificial intelligence. And some of these commercials that these people are coming up with now, they are dangerous, Dr. Demery. They are striking fear in people's minds. It looks like there are certain, let's say, if you vote for this candidate or you vote for this guy's president, then this is what is going to happen, you know? Mm. And they make it look so real. Dr. Demery, artificial intelligence, what's your take on that? Do you have any concerns about it? And if you were to counsel somebody or talk to them about it that has a concern, what would you say?
Well, I want to recognize the fact that, as many of us know, we had another mass shooting in Texas.
Two of them.
Those people and their family and loved ones and all the first responders who are in to those people and psychological people that are provide counseling and trauma for those people. So let's them our prayers. Tragic thing. Something that happened, as I said before, it's worse and worse. Nothing will stop unless we circumvent the tremendous lobby that the NRA has on Congress. And that's where it's coming from. That's why they will not do anything, because of tremendous payout. The pockets are lined by the NRA and other multi-billion will line the pockets of people when they vote the way they want to vote, as opposed to voting for
doing it. Right. Wow. Dr. Demery, I hate to interrupt, but you're breaking up a little bit. And I really want to hear what you have to say. Because I'm catching every other word, but what you're saying is so important.
Am I fair now?
A little bit. Continue.
Yeah, I don't know what, but anyway, going back to the artificial thing, I think that it is a good thing, but like anything else, I remember when the internet first came out. The internet is a good thing, but it can be, once it becomes powerful, it can become bastardized, and it can be used for bad. And as we in the text, Satan is like a raging lion going to, from, and fro to see and search out whom he can destroy. And he will use anything He will use any tool that may seem to be good. He will use it and turn it around to his own good. I preached this morning was on John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14, which talks about let not your heart be troubled. We have to be very careful because our hearts can't be troubled by artificial intelligence. It's like I want to hear what Dan has to say, but it is, I think, once again, one of those tools, an electronic, technical tool that can be used for bad if you allow it to. It can't be good, but like I told you, one of the things that I do in sermon preparation, I don't use artificial intelligence, and there hasn't been any artificial intelligence at this point that will help you with sermon preparation or help you translate the Greek text. So I'm very proud that I haven't had to use it, and it doesn't affect any part of my life intrinsically. But I think anything else, we have to be very careful with it. We have to watch. That's why we're having this show, William, as you are so adequately producing, that we have to watch and listen. Like the Bible says, we have to watch and pray. Be turned into a tool that can be very divisive. It can cause problems in your personal life. It can cause problems, like you said, William, when you're using the example of the political and the political procedures that happen, how they can predict and simply, you know, put and drop into the minds of people that are weak-minded what they want them to think and how they want them to think. And that's part of what psychology does. You know, psychology will give input into a certain subject and to certain mindsets. And part of what artificial intelligence does in that area is predict the outcome. Now, that's dangerous. And that takes away free will. One of the things I'm always stressing to my congregation is what is the greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts that God gives you, the power of choice.
Amen.
Anybody, anything, choose for you. You have to choose. Only thing that really bothers me about it is that it can get to the point where it will make choices for you. It will make decisions for you, and you lose your free will in the whole process. So that's about it initially. Where I might have some other things to say as we discuss later on, but that's my take on it.
Well put, well put. And to piggyback off of what Dr. Dimmer was saying, when you have someone else or something else thinking for you, that is a game that I don't want to play. As a matter of fact, it's no longer a game. And that's why I talk about the dumbing down of society. Now, as sophisticated as we become as humans, I mean, sophisticated as far as manufacturing, engineering, electronics, look at the internet. I think it's one of the greatest things that were ever invented. Yet it can be very, very dangerous in the hands of the wrong person. And now we cannot allow our children to use AI to advance as far as education is concerned. If it gets to the point that our children we allow our children to do that, then where does the critical thinking come from? And which is an exercise of your brain to really work out and solve problems. And I would rather have myself and anyone else, if I were a teacher or something like that, I would want them to be able to think on their own. I mean, isn't that the way we grew up? How we've learned? But if I have a machine doing it for me, what have I learned? Anne?
Well, I think what we're going to see is probably an escalation of what we've got going on now. I mean, if you think about it, how many of us memorize phone numbers anymore?
Wow.
I mean, a lot of people don't know their own phone numbers, don't know their own addresses, other people's addresses.
Is that
don't know how to travel. because they're too busy when they're kids looking down at a video game or something like that. And they just, when a car stops, they are at their destination. So they don't know how to drive because they're too busy doing other computerized things. And we've been doing that for a long time. So this, this next step, this artificial intelligence leap beyond what we've been dealing with just computers. I think they've kind of been prepping, the human race for quite some time in movies and making it look cool. And then at the same time, there are others that have made it look dangerous. Mm-hmm. But you wanted to know, what is artificial intelligence? Well, according to IBM's website, while a number of definitions of artificial intelligence have surfaced over the last few decades, John McCarthy offers the following definition in his 2004 paper. He says, it is the science and engineering of making intelligent machines, especially intelligent computer programs. It is related to the similar task of using computers to understand human intelligence. But AI does not have to confine itself to methods that are biologically observable. When it comes to that definition, is it all encompassing? Maybe not. I suppose that's why there are a lot of definitions of artificial intelligence out there. I do know that here recently there have been a lot of articles out about artificial intelligence. As a matter of fact, CBS had one on May 5th by Nancy Chen called How Artificial Intelligence Could Fundamentally Change Certain Types of Work. And this is just one of several, because there have been studies because some employers have already started using it in like the customer service area. And that article that I read, they thought that it was helpful in that particular instance, because the way that the company used it wasn't to allow the artificial intelligence to do the work, but to enhance the work of the people who were answering the phones. So especially for brand new people who had just started, the artificial intelligence had been listening to how those with more experience answered the calls and how it was a much better experience. So with the new people answering, when a question came up that they weren't familiar with, the artificial intelligence provided a response. The calls went much better. The customers were happier. They weren't as angry. There wasn't as much escalation of calls. So overall, in that regard, it looked like it was beneficial to new people. Now, then they were like, well, what do you do with the people who already have this experience? Do you pay them more money? Because this is what the machine is modeling after. You know, because they've been here longer, they've got more experience, they know the job better. But anyway, that's just one study and about one industry. But this particular article from CBS says, since he started using artificial intelligence, copywriter Guillermo Rubio estimates his productivity has increased by as much as 20%. Quote, it just makes certain things go a bit faster, like research or brainstorming ideas, Rubio told CBS News. It's really useful for coming up with those things, not necessarily writing them, but just generating the ideas when you're stuck. That innovation also means change. A report released by Goldman Sachs in March found that AI services could automate as many as 300 million full-time jobs worldwide. Many are calling it a new age in the way we work. It's very powerful, said Daniel Kuhn, an assistant professor of management at Columbia Business School. AI is able to actually outperform us in learning and adapting so that we have not seen before in any technology. I think that's supposed to be something that we have not seen in any technologies. Hume believes the impact of AI will stretch across industries. The issue has already taken center stage in Hollywood, where Writers Guild of America members went on strike this week for the first time in 16 years. Among the demands from the more than 11,000 WGA writers to the studios is a ban on the use of AI to create feature and television scripts. these more very physical and labor-intensive jobs won't be replaced, King said. But I think thinking, analytical, creative skills, these things are actually more exposed to AI at the moment. The spike in the popularity of AI has raised alarm among some in the tech world who say that there are ethical issues that still need to be fleshed out. In March, a group of about 1,000 tech leaders, including Elon Musk and Steve Wozniak, signed a letter calling for a pause on AI development because they believe it poses profound risk to society and humanity. ChatGPT came on the scene in November, and it's been like a wildfire ever since, said Margaret Leilani, vice president of talent solutions at the job search site Upwork. You have to be smart about it and really look at it as this opportunity, Leilani added. It is not an or between ChatGPT and humans. It's an and. And when you combine those two together and really harness that potential of utilizing technology to increase your productivity and really showcase your creativity, is going to take you that much further. That is a mindset that Rubio has embraced, saying it's not just about adapting in order to survive and even thrive, I would say, Rubio said. So you've got different people looking at this from different angles. On the one hand, you've got some research, which is very limited and very new, saying that in some ways, in some industries, it can be beneficial to workers. And then you've got others like Goldman Sachs saying, you know, 300 million jobs could go automated. And when you think about the fact that the wealth gap has already been increasing more and more, it's kind of a big issue. Whose jobs are going to be cut? Will this be applied in a way where, like with the customer service industry, you have the artificial intelligence working with human beings so that jobs aren't replaced and, you know, you're making the experience better? Or are they just going to allow the machine to do all the work and cut out a means of income for, you know, millions of people? So it's a big issue. A lot of people are right to be concerned.
Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you, it is a huge issue. And the more I look at it, the bigger it becomes to me, because I can see if these, your employers, and powers to be, if there's a system, see now, and this is more or less going to be an honor system unless there are some strict laws against it, right? That your employer will help production and have that to be a tool that can assist you. Just like on this program here, where you look up articles all the time and I'll look up articles for certain programs and things of that nature. It only enhances that program, but it's not the program. It's not the entire program. We need, and I enjoy the human interaction, for instance, like you and myself, Dr. Demery, and our other hosts when they come on, that interaction, I want to hear what they have to say, what their feelings are, how does this affect them? What questions do they have regarding this? And one word comes to mind, Dr. Demery, which is a bad, bad word. Bad word. No, I'm not going to cuss. A bad word. I'm talking about greed. Now, look at the CEO. Now, I can't think of a, look, this is just this host opinion. There's not a CEO on this planet that's worth $100 million a year for doing nothing. Right. And you know what? As a matter of fact, I would put them in six figures. Okay. Okay, not seven, six figures. Because most time, the CEO does absolutely nothing except for sit in the office and everyone else brings their ideas to him or her. Then they make a decision on how the company moves forward in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these CEOs out here are dumber than rocks. They are. Right. Look, I'm serious about that. I've worked for corporations before. I've worked for major corporations. And I'm thinking, what in the world does she do? I mean, what does she do? What does he do? Okay. And they do nothing. The lower level management and the individuals mostly, do all of the work. As a matter of fact, the managers don't do a lot. They may put their input and say, oh, nope, I want to go this work, this direction. I want to go in that direction. Bring the project back to me. But you have your frontline workers, your workers who's out there actually doing the jobs, doing the jobs. Management doesn't, they just keep things in order. That's what management means, okay? Keeping things in order. And then you've got this guy who's lucky enough to be CEO sitting up there collecting a big fat check. Now, the reason why I said greed, and which is really concerning to me, because if I were a CEO and I'm making $300 million a year, matter of fact, I would give a lot of that back to my employees, the people that work for me. No, I'm serious about that. That's what this greed factor. I'm making $300 million a year, and yet I'm barely paying a minimum wage to the bottom rung workers. $15 an hour and I'm making $300 million. I wouldn't even feel right about myself. The problem is there's so much greed out here, Dr. Demery, in society that some of these jokers wouldn't mind replacing their workers who really got them to the position they're in or the company to the place that it is. They don't have a problem replacing their employees with machines. They have no problems with it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Instead of just using it as a tool to enhance your growth, okay? Enhance your productivity. So the word greed, I know it's in the Bible there, Dr. Demery, you know, and a lot of these nefarious characters, they so busy talk about Jesus and God and greedy as hell. They don't care.
That's the would have been a deacon.
Yeah, that's why I got kicked. I don't mind. I wear like a baggage of armor. I got kicked off the board before I got there. I don't care. But the point that I'm getting at, I have to call things the way they are. Dr. Demery.
Well, I would say this. We have, from my perspective in my field, we have a lot of pastors who are not humble, who, and you know, William, there's an, and you know as well, there's a lot of pastors who make $1 million or more. And that money is non-taxed because they don't get taxed on their salary.
Wow.
That's a shame because I think they're losing their humbleness. There was a story that I heard about this one minister, and this true story, he wanted to be put on a chair, lifted up, and carried into the church.
Yep.
Who told him that? Who told him that was going to happen? No, sir.
To me, that's nonsense. You know,
sir.
That's a true
I'm
story.
I'm not lifting you. And you need a plane?
What? You know, we all saw, well, some of us watched the coronation of Charles III.
Right.
Ridiculous thing I ever saw in my life.
Man.
I mean, like you guys. I mean, there were some neat parts about it in the tradition and all that. I like to hear the little black choir sing. But part of that stuff, to me, was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I pledge your oath to a man.
Right.
Right.
And not to God.
Amen.
That was, some parts of it was just really scary and almost sacrilegious to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
But so we have a lot of these pastors who are running around out there who are involved in things that they shouldn't be involved in. I'll just leave it at that. And are not humble. Have no idea what it means to be humble. You know, they live in a multi-million dollar home. Many of them are driving a six-figure or more dollar car, all of that kind of stuff, and it's nonsense. And unfortunately, a lot of them are falling into the trap of being sucked in by AI. And to me, William and Ann, it is a shame because it takes away from the sacredness and the sanctity of what the good news is all about. And, you know, Jesus were here today, and I told this story last time, and you weren't here. And I'm sorry, I'm going to repeat it again, but I'll make it brief. And I don't know if you saw the movie called Risen. I don't know if you've been heard of it, but
I think I've heard of it.
I suggest that you see it, William, you as well.
Okay.
And because it's about the life of the disciples in retrospect to what Jesus was doing, and does do the post-death resurrection experiences at the end. But here is the key part to the movie that made a difference for me. At the end of the movie, Jesus had made one of his appearances, and many of you know this appearance dealt with when they were out in the boat, and Jesus was on the shore making a little meal. He had a fire going and made some fish, and they didn't know that it was him. But as they got closer and they saw that it was him, they had fellowship with him. They sat down, and off in the distance, there was a little village there, and they were driving this man, this particular individual, out of the village. They were actually had sticks and were beating him. They were beating him with sticks to drive him out and drive him away. And the reason why they were doing this, because this man was a leper. And this did in the movie, and I think it could have been, you know, a paradigm or quite possibly a hermeneutic for Jesus' ministry. Jesus went up to the man, hugged, kissed him, fish, and immediately healed, and he walked off. That's what humbleness is all about. And I think that's what Christ calls us to do, to be humble, to show love, to show compassion. And it's sad that many pastors aren't doing that. They're more, you know, they're lining their pockets, like the seat that you talked about. They're more concerned about, you know, getting a new car. There was a pastor that showed on TV, I won't mention his name, he was driving around in a Murcielago. You know what a Murcielago is? It was a Lamborghini that cost $300,000.
Whoa.
Murcielago. Wow. And his big fat behind. trying to drive in the tank. You know what they had, the wing window, the wing doors, William?
Yes.
Closes. He could get his big behind in there.
Good Lord.
So it's back to, and I know I'm hard on preachers. I really apologize about that.
No, but don't apologize.
That are foolish. And I think many of them have given themselves over to the beast. They've given themselves over to a reprobate mind and lost their first love.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Dimmer, because I grew up fearing God, okay, because many said, hey, William, with your voice, you ought to be a, with your voice and passion, you should be a preacher. I said, hold it.
Right.
Lord said that. I said, women, hold it. I didn't get past being a deacon, so But the point that I'm getting at, I can't be a hypocrite to this point. Because hey, I still make a whole bunch of mistakes, and I'm sure a lot of preachers do, even though even the good ones make mistakes. But to get up there proclaiming and talking about the word of God, and then you're doing all these other things, and like God doesn't see you. And I'm wondering, Dr. Dimery, are they fooling themselves? Don't they really know what they're doing? And are they just living for today and say, well, you know what? I'm already going to hell, so I might as well. I don't know. I'm serious about this, because I would be afraid to get up in that pulpit. All right. Knowing that, hey, I'm not coming from the best place. Now, you may not know who I am, but I know who I am.
Right.
Okay, I know what mistakes I'm making and I've made. And so I don't understand. These clowns, and I'm calling them clowns, okay? Mm-hmm. Because anytime you get up there and you want to lead God's people, but you aren't doing it right, or you're tricking them, pass the plate again, Brother Jones here. We need 500. Well, no, we need 50,000 more dollars, or we need whatever we need. Some churches you go in and they pass the plate. They pass the plate more than they talk.
Right.
I mean, you know, and the preacher up there, he's living in a fine house. But then you got Sister Jones and her children over here. They can barely keep the lights on, or the lights are off.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Or they don't have enough food. I would be ashamed to be eating well, knowing that Most of us, a lot of my congregation is starving. I don't understand this, Dr. Demery.
What we need, and Ann, I don't know if you remember this story or not, but William remembers it. What we need is more people like you, William, in the sense that we had a male chorus meeting, and when I was at the former church that me and William used to go to, and there was a preacher there, and all I can say is, for lack of clarity, he was a fool.
Wow.
And William and a couple of other guys said, wait a minute, I don't care if you are a preacher or not. William's nose flared out. And he was right, because the preacher was wrong. And the preacher got mad at me, Ann, because I wouldn't stand in the fact on your own.
Sure did. And that's a true story.
Get out of it.
Right. That's a true story, Ann. As a matter of fact, I remember at one church service, and I'm the male chorus, I mean, we're just having a good, he was a good singer. He was a good singer. I give him that, right? But he was always, and I had a problem with this too. And a lot of the choir directors wanted us to leave the choir stand and come up in the pulpit and sing. And I wasn't cool on that. I really wasn't.
They don't understand. When you grow up in the South, the pulpit is, that's a no-go zone for us. You
really?
Going over there.
No, I am not joking. You've got directors there now that want you to come leave the choir stand, come down into the pulpit. And you know, and one of the, I remember one, pastor, our old pastor there, Dr. Fairley. Okay. And, he called me down to the pulpit one day. Okay. He called me down because he wanted, talk about the radio station, my radio station. And he just gave me, pulled me right in front of the congregation and said, Brother Brown has a radio station. He does some great things, some ministry work, blah, 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 blah. And I was a little reluctant to come down, and he said, don't worry about it, Brother Brown. I'm not going to ask you to preach. I said, well, thank God for that.
Right. Yeah, right.
Because I look at that as a sacred ground. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this one particular preacher that Dr. Dill was talking about, he used to sing this song. And it had something about God gave me money, gave me blah, blah, blah. And he would pull a wad of money out and show it to the congregation. I said, wait a minute, hold, this is out of place. This is out of place.
Wow.
This is out of place.
Wow.
Come on, man. You know? I think that some of our preachers do more harm than good. Their jobs, in my opinion, from what I know, is to feed the flock. What you mean
by all right.
Feed the flock? And that means in whatever way you can help them, but not only that, give them the information to help them in their struggles, in their survival and things of that nature. I can't see being also a preacher. I'm living in a mansion here, and like I said, Sister Jones and her children are starving. I would make sure that they ate.
Some places that are very strict about, you know, who gets help, who gets financial assistance. And on the one hand, I do understand not wanting the church to be victimized by scammers.
Okay, that's one thing.
That type of thing. But on the other hand, it's like, okay, so if you don't not at the church paying your tithes, you can't get help from the church.
But and what if they don't have the money to pay the tithes?
Right. It's like, okay, I know what it is like. I know what it is like to have to choose between paying a bill and eating. I know what that feels like. And it is not a good place to be. I thank God at the time we didn't have any kids. It was early in our marriage when we were being tested, and my husband, the major breadwinner, lost his job. I'm working as a law clerk for nothing. I mean, we were literally about, you know, on the cusp of being evicted, phones cut off, and you know, you people don't have landline phones, never have. You don't know what that's like either, but no landline phones, and literally like, okay, we are hungry. Do we eat, or do we, you know, try to use this money to pay a bill? What do you do? There are people who are like that, and they go to church faithfully.
Right.
They go faithfully and they need assistance. And so if the criteria is, no, we can't help you because you don't pay your tithes. It's a whole bunch of people that are not in financial distress that never pay tithes because, you know, they're not there yet. So I think we as Christians, while yes, we want to be good stewards over what the Lord has blessed the church with, you know, part of the reason that people pay tithes is so that there will be meat in the Lord's house. So, you know, so that the people doing the work of God will be blessed, but also so that those who are in need, you know, that we can help them. So we need to find a better way. I think to be a blessing to those who need it, especially now, you know, with the pandemic, we got to see up close and personal, how, people were not, when they didn't have a job to go to, how they couldn't eat. You know, how they couldn't pay their bills. There was a stark difference between the haves and the have nots at that point. And now, you know, yes, a lot of people have gone back to work, but you've got the economy slowing down. So there are people who are losing their jobs again. Inflation is really high. Things, you know, things are tightening. So people need help. And I really hate that we are living in a society where those who are in leadership don't like helping people. They make it seem like it's a bad thing. The Republicans are really getting on my nerves, because people need a lot of help. They need, I mean, the migrants need help. The people in this country already, who are dealing with the inflation, those who are dealing with, student loans, all those people need help. Why don't you want to help people? It's such a, Such a hypocritical thing for them to claim that, you know, all this they're doing is about Christianity, when the fundamental thing of Christianity is to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to bless other people. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
That's
they
right.
don't want to give anything to anybody.
You know, and this is the thing about it, like you say, they are absolute hypocrites, because the thing about it, how do you expect me to give something I don't have? Okay. And if the church is supposed to be the place, okay, in my opinion, where the storehouse is supposed to be there, because let's say you've got people there that pay their offering, pay their tithes. They can afford to do that. But I've got, it can be a family in distress. It could be mother, father, sister, and the children, mother, father, and the children, right?
Right.
That
right.
don't have anything. And you're going to say, well, because you don't pay your tithes, we can't help you. Well, if I could pay my tithes, perhaps I wouldn't need your help.
Exactly. Exactly. And not only that, you have to think about it. Everybody is on a different spiritual walk. And so, yeah, you have one person has mastered this particular spiritual principle, and now the Holy Spirit is working on this person so that they gain more spiritual territory. In other words, it's another enemy within you that needs to be defeated. And one of those enemies is learning to trust the Lord with your money. Because he can do a whole lot more with 90% than you can do with 100%. You know what I'm saying? He, just like he multiplied the two little fish and five loaves of bread, he can multiply this 90% in a miraculous way if you trust him with it. But you don't, you know, we have no grace for people, who haven't gotten to the spiritual level that you're on. You know, you have some people who are still wrestling with the evil spirit of fear. Some people still wrestling with sexual immorality. Some people, you know, who are still wrestling with just lying. You know what I'm saying? You never know where somebody is. So it's, when it comes to Christianity, it's not a A, B, C, D, all the way to Z thing in everybody's life. We all have different areas that we have issues with. Some people, you know, I've never smoked weed a day in my life, but I know it's a whole lot of people out there who not only smoke it, they do edibles and all kind of other stuff. And these folks go to church. Okay. I'm just being real. I know people who go to church who like to use recreational drugs. It's just where they are on their spiritual journey. So you can't compare what they are going through to what you're going through.
Right.
We are different people. We're going through different things. So give people some grace. Mm-hmm. They need to be taught what the word of God says about every type of sin so that they can repent. First of all, so the Holy Spirit can convict them of that sin, and then so that they can repent of that sin and, ask for the Holy Spirit's empowerment to turn away from it and live their lives in the way that the Lord wants them to. The problem is you don't have that kind of teaching going on. You got a whole lot of condemnation.
That's right.
Going on from the pulpit instead of us teaching people this is what the word of God says and then giving you constructive ways on how to become free from that sin. Because a lot of folks don't know. They hear this sermon and they still don't know. They know to repent, but they don't know how to stop using drugs. They don't know, you know, how to stop, looking at the woman across the street. they just don't know how to do it. And just like eating as an act of worship ministries, I can tell you that this is what the word of God says about gluttony, about your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you all those things. And because I have heard people who were Christians in health and fitness talk about your body being the temple. I felt the conviction. I didn't know how to move forward. You need somebody who can teach you what you do next. And I think that's what we're missing in a lot of our churches. You don't have people who know what to do next because they ain't done it either.
That's exactly right. I'm gonna tell you something else too. A lot of those, and you even have some of these preachers, they go get up there and say, yeah, you out there doing drugs, you out there taking these drugs and you partying all night and stuff like that. But this clown, but he's up there whoring around.
Exactly. You got two babies outside your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that because we can see the little kids in the church.
Yeah.
In the nursery. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, did I tell you and Dr. Dimmer, I'm sure I did. God bless her soul. My mom and I I was living in California when she was alive. We used to talk every Sunday. That was a really good time for us to talk, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember one Sunday, her nickname for me was Man. Man, did you go to church today? I said, Mom, oh no, it was just hot out here. She said, you know, hell is hotter than that, don't you? I said,
exactly.
Oh Lord. I said, oh, exactly. Oh Lord. And that's the last time I gave her that excuse, right? But anyway, we used to talk about a lot of things and she was telling me about, this one particular situation where, it's a church right here in Richmond, Virginia. I'm not going to call the name of the church. All right. I'm not going to do that. But the preacher was up there preaching and he's hooping and hollering. It's an 11 o'clock service. So you know, the church was packed, right? Mm-hmm. The wife was sitting on the front pew. So was his girlfriend. All right. The church didn't know. I mean, maybe some people knew what was going on, but the wife knew what was happening. He's in the middle of his sermon. The wife politely gets up in the middle of the sermon, walks up to the pulpit, reaches all the way back and just slapped the taste out of his mouth right there in church.
I don't blame her. You know what I'm saying? That is a very